Welcome back to another episode of Dentistry's Growing with Grace podcast. Join Grace and her guest of the week as they discuss lessons learned in the industry and explore unique insights into ethical growth.
Hello and welcome back to Dentistry's Growing with Grace. I am honored to have my friend and guest, Dr. Stephanie Mohan, with me today. Stephanie, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, I'm the one that's honored. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So for those of our audience in our audience who don't know you, tell us a little bit about you and your background and what you do.
Yeah. So I've been a dentist in Iowa for Iowa for 26 years, and I own 5 practices. I'm just a really happy multi-practice owner, and I have really amazing team and doctors that work for me. Ironically, what we're going to talk about is that I didn't feel that way a couple of years ago. I was pretty miserable and pretty frustrated, overwhelmed, any of those terms that you want to use that would apply to where I was. And, gosh, some of us are really good at putting on a really good face, but I couldn't do it anymore. So it's a kind of a breakdown to breakthrough story. And I'm really honored that you let me share it with your listeners. And so, yeah, but that's who I am. That's what I do. And I've got some kids and they're pretty much grown and life goes really fast.
That's what I keep hearing. And what I'm seeing too, I'll be at out to ice cream with my kids and I'll see the girl scooping the ice cream. And I'm like, I'm going to blink. And my kid's going to work here. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So 5 offices, I think that speaks volumes for your business acumen and ambition and work ethic. But also you get to that point and you hit a point and you're like, okay, some struggles happen and it pushes you to even in new heights. So yeah, tell me a little bit about what changed and what had you kind of making changes.
Yeah. Well, what's really interesting is that I think like a lot of people, COVID kind of took us one way or the other, right? We couldn't really sit on the fence with that. So for me, I thought it was a catastrophe in my business and in, shutting down 5 offices. We were mandated closed for about 8 weeks, like many, many, many people. And then for me, at least what I thought was the really super difficult thing of, one of the most difficult things in my life was bringing them back after COVID. And I had no idea how to do that. I mean, truly nobody really did, but I struggled more than maybe I ever have, or at least I really acknowledged my struggle during that time, that I was very fearful and that's not really what I believe. And I was very, I felt very out of control because all these other things were happening. And I'm just incredibly fortunate to have somebody in my life that developed herself before she got to me. and so she is my friend Leo. I mean, so many wonderful people in our lives, but my friend Leah Rowling just kind of pulled me out of all of it and taught me that our brain tells us lies. And our brain, So our brain's a big fat liar. And it tells us that our brain's 2 major functions are, number 1, to keep us safe, and number 2, to prove us right. So any thought that pops into our head, we sort of automatically believe is true unless we actively work against it.
Yep.
Yeah. And so then the other 2 major fears that we have in conjunction with how our brain works are that we're not worthy or that we're not good enough, and that we are, something is not going the way that it should, or something has gone wrong. And so if we just take those default modes that our brain throws us into, then we end up in negativity and disaster mode and crisis mode and frustration and overwhelm and stress and all of those things. And when we take situations that happen to us, like even COVID, and we neutralize it, and we're like, ah, interesting, this is new, this is happening. This is something that I can either, panic about, or we can make solutions, you know? And so there, you really, our brain can take us either way. And I went into panic until she taught me that, oh, by the way, you actually are the driver of your brain, even though it feels like your brain is driving you, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so, so then I love this so much because I can take any situation now, and there's actually a formula to it, which is really amazing. Like there's an algorithm and a formula to it. It's called the model. We call it the model. And it's any situation. If you can neutralize it, you can change the thought that you have about the situation. So it's funny. Weather is actually like a really excellent example of this. And so if it's, you know, storming outside, a lot of times our brains automatically say, oh, that's terrible. And the situation is still neutral. It's storming outside, right?
Right.
And so it's the thoughts that we have about it that lead us to some kind of feeling or emotion about it. And then we decide what to do with that. And it all happens, you know, our brain has 40 to 60,000 thoughts a day. And so we're processing. And so really what happens, because, you know, we do have sort of a supercomputer that we don't take full advantage of, but 95% of the time we just default to, well, this is just what I do when it rains. You know, when it storms, I hate it. And it, you know, it's terrible. And I don't want to, you know, go outside. So I'm just going to pull the blanket up and I'm just going to sit here miserable. That's what I do. And instead you can make an intentional model, which yep. is still, the situation is still, it's still neutral. It's storming outside. And then you can say, oh, this is fantastic. I needed to clean out that closet anyway. Or we have board games that we haven't pulled out in a while. Let's play. And, you know, so you can create a completely different outcome or result from the same situation. And so, you know, a lot of people really thrived after COVID, and I just brought it to my whole team because I loved it so much. And so we ended up, yeah, kind of building a business out of it, because it's just, it's something we're just not taught.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. And it is, anyone can relate to being conditioned culturally by how people react. So it's in movies, it's in TV, it's in everything. You're going to see a movie with an office setting. There's going to be people dragging, complaining. You know, it's yeah. Monday. It's the Mondayest Monday that's ever Monday. Well, Monday is my favorite day of the work week. And
it can be. Yeah.
I love Monday. I love Monday morning. And so I don't really do well when people go, well, it's Monday. I'm like, yep, it's a great opportunity to make a yeah. difference and work and productive. And
yeah, it's exciting. We have a whole week ahead of us.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's very, there's so much in perspective. I think, and this isn't really like politically correct to share, but it's my podcast, so I'm going to do it anyways. Yeah, I think a lot of it's spiritual warfare too. I'm a Christian. And I've become very aware of spiritual warfare and, yeah. and the spiritual realm. And in my opinion, there is this force that's pitting you against people, pitting you against your employees, your spouse, your kids. And so when things happen, we take things personally and we get offended by them. But there's also this narrator in our head that we have to take control of and we have to be aware of to choose positivity, to choose neutral. I like that word you use, neutral.
Yeah. And you can't neutralize the situation. You can't look at it differently. You can't.
Right.
Because then you're going to default into your original, you know.
You're going to default to emotions.
Yeah. Well, you know that there's no such thing as difficult people. It's what we assign to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do want to, and I love it that this is your podcast and you can do whatever you want and your message is so strong and so wonderful, but Paul taught us to hold every thought captive in Corinthians. So yes, it is 2 Corinthians, and that is incredibly important. And when we have 40 to 60,000 thoughts a day, it's a big job.
Yes.
It's a continual process. I will be doing this work for the rest of my life. And it's so important.
Well, we're on the battlefield and some of us don't even know that we are. So I think the information is beneficial for anyone. So when a thought enters your mind, yep. the first thing is to know that you don't necessarily own that thought. You don't have to own that thought. You don't have to accept that thought. You can kick it out if it's yep. if it's not in alignment with right. with maybe reality or maybe even what you want to how you want to be perceiving things.
Right.
And so
we want to become.
Yes. Yes. So I'll give an example of this.
Yeah.
And I think it also very closely ties in the work setting with not taking things personally.
Yes.
I think they're very interconnected. So an example would be, you know, you ask someone a question at work and they just don't answer you. You may feel like that person is sitting there being disrespectful to you, but in reality, they might be someone who just takes longer to process mm-hmm. and they think before they speak, and they might be exercising good things
yeah.
and might be someone who's very quick, and you're perceiving that in a different way. And yeah. so one of my mantras that I do my best to live by at work is ask, don't accuse.
Right.
So instead of saying,
if you accuse, then everybody gets defensive.
And then it just shuts everything down and you can't progress. So here to say, you know, you're ignoring me, that's actually an accusation. And if you're patient and you say, would you like some time to think about this? Or would you like to talk about this later? Or, you know, what are you deliberating on right now? How can I help with this? That can be approached very differently than making an accusation or an assumption about a situation.
Well, and at the end of the day, we're all called to love. And so it's not loving to be accusing.
Right.
It's loving to understand. It's loving to give somebody some space. It's loving to be patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
it's also loving to hold people accountable.
Sure. Absolutely. And
it's also loving to have difficult conversations and to work through things that aren't what they need to be. And it's finding that appropriate time, when to do what and how. It's always a challenge. So you mentioned that your team started something new from this experience. So you had this during a crisis, you were able to recognize with the help of a friend that, hey, these are the things I have control over. These are the things that I don't have control over. And here's how we're going to work through this. And in that flip of mindset, what changed for you as a leader?
Yeah. Well, I stayed in the four things that I could control, which are my thoughts, my emotions, my actions, and my results. And those are the only four things that I can control. And it's funny because you're talking about, you know, one of my favorite sayings, thoughts that I've adopted is people are extremely good at being who they are. They're rarely good at being who you want them to be, or who you need them to be, or who you expect them to be, or, you know, they're really good at being them, really good at being them because they've been them for a really long time. And this applies to spouses. It applies to children. It applies to every human that you'll encounter. They're really good at being them, and they're not very good at being who you want them to be, especially in that moment, in that time. And it just takes so much of the pressure off. I had all of these expectations of other people because I have 50 employees and I have, you know, all of this responsibility, but I'm really just at the end of the day, I'm responsible for me. And so when I learned that and I stopped blaming everybody else because I thought something was going wrong, because that's one of our major fears, and it's just so light and it's so peaceful and it's so much easier. And yes, and I would even say, instead of holding people accountable, I would help them be accountable. And because, you know, the best question sometimes we can ask is, how can I help?
Yes. Yes. I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about this business that you've created out of this experience.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, truly, I will be a lifelong student of this, right? Because it's changed all of my relationships for the better. Even though I thought I had great relationships before, I have, you know, 23, 22 year old, 18 and 15 year old children. And all of those relationships have gotten better, even though I thought they were pretty good, but I'm showing up better. And I think that's where we don't realize that our relationships are mostly coming from us. So my relationship with my team got better. My relationship with my docs got better. I mean, I can't emphasize enough, like when we do the work, and it sounds kind of selfish and self-centered to do the work for us, but we really can't do the work for somebody else, right? And so when I realized how powerful it was and how much of an important thing, you know, so I, you know, brought my, my coach Leah into our mix. And then she actually started coaching so many dentists that she couldn't, I mean, we ended up having to do some group stuff because we can't, you know, fit. I mean, people relate to the fact that, you know, it's so important. And we're just not taught, right? We're not taught this. It sounds really simple, but it is a lifetime of work to be able to, I mean, get to the point where you really do master your thoughts eventually. I believe, I'm sure I'm not there yet, but I'm so much, I mean, again, I'm so much lighter, so much more peaceful, so much easier. And then I am free to be more loving and kind. And then of course, like everybody then relates differently to me because I'm not this big ogre of a boss that, you know, I mean, like used to like fly off the handle sometimes when everything just didn't go right. And so teaching that in dentistry, and it's funny because Leah says that dentists are these really interesting, we're not unicorns, but we're a really interesting mix of perfectionist, people pleasing, OCD.
It's a trifecta of
It is. I know. And you know, and since you work with dentists, you know this, and we know it about ourselves, or if we're honest with ourselves, we know it about ourselves. But it's just, I mean, holding perfection out. I mean, we expect our kids to be perfect. We expect our spouse to be perfect. I mean, like we don't live in a world where perfection is anywhere. It lives in one place, right? So, yeah. I mean, yeah. So we almost had to build a business out of it. I mean, it wasn't even like really optional. And we actually had a woman dentist that was the mother of five children in my community that was a pediatric dentist that ended her life during COVID. And I looked at Leah and I said, that can't happen anymore. We can't do that. So, right. You know, call it a mission, call it a movement, call it whatever you want. But I shy away from calling it mental health sometimes, but it's exactly what it is. I mean, we have to work on the mental health in our profession because we live and we work isolated and we can't keep doing that anymore. We have to be open and honest with each other. We have to be vulnerable with each other. We have to do something. So we actually, we have money and mindset retreats that we're putting on. We have one in November coming up, and it's just really fantastic stuff. And people will leave lighter and more peaceful and less overwhelmed and less stressed and more profitable, more productive, because then you are able to be more productive. You know, we think that we're at our limit, and you are, because you're at the limit of what your brain is allowing you to do right now.
Yeah. There's one word I want to pull out from everything you just said, and it's peace, and it's peaceful. And I want to talk about the peace, the perfectionist, people pleasers, and peace. And perfectionism and people pleasing are in complete opposition to peace. When we're setting this everything must be perfect mindset, we're not focused on solutions and moving forward. We're focused on what happened yesterday, and kind of sometimes it creates these negative feelings for us. And with people pleasing, you can never win, because if you want to have a business of any size, there is going to be a subset of people who are not your people. There's going to be a subset of people who either they just don't like you, they don't like the way you talk or look or act or what you say, or they have a different political opinion or a different religious belief, or you just rub them the wrong way. You might remind them of what they don't like in themselves, and that might rub them the wrong. Often that's why we don't like people, as we see something we don't like in ourselves. And when you're a people pleaser and you're a perfectionist, and a lot of dentists wear this like a badge of honor, like I'm a perfectionist, so my work is very good. You can have clinical excellence without being a perfectionist. It's not a good thing. It will rob you of peace, because nothing will ever be good enough in your mind, in your filter, how you perceive things. So you might get this great employee, or you might help this person with something, but they weren't 100% happy. And so you're living for the approval of the people around you. And you will never get that. I just want to say you will never be peaceful with that. When I was going, I went through a similar thing in 2020, like with the shutdown. I think a lot of us were in crisis mode and encountered some changes. For me, it was all spiritual. It was a wild, wild experience that I had that I won't go into right now, but it was all spiritual. And the thing that came out of it from complete chaos was peace, because in that chaos, I didn't have anywhere to turn but to God.
Right.
And he just brings so much peace, because you're no longer living in the here and now, you're living for the next life. And you do have someone to please, but it's God. And one of my friends said to me, "Grace, you just need an audience of one." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And I thought she meant this before my spiritual awakening. I thought she meant myself, that I just need to be by my own. And that's a little bit true, because God gave us a conscience. And so if we feel good with ourselves and our decisions, we have peace. But she was like, "No, God is the audience of one, and you need to work to please God, not everyone else in your life."
Right.
And I will just say for anyone listening or that stumbled upon this content, the audience of one thing will free you. It feels like you're submitting and you're engaging in this life of submission and obedience, which you are, but the weird mystery in that journey is freedom. Like, you get freedom out of obedience and submission. I don't know how.
It's true. I know. It's wild. And there's only, you're right, God is the only way for it to happen. And you know, people can argue with us all day long about that, but you have to experience it to know it. And so I can guarantee you people that will argue will have not experienced it.
Yes. Yes. Or they did, but they didn't know that that's what they were experiencing. Right. And so I always tell people, if you don't know where you stand with God, just crack the door open, just leave the door open and he'll come to you. He'll come through the door. You can't keep it closed though. You got to keep the door open.
Yeah.
So this retreat, if people want to learn more about how to get involved in your team coaching so that they can have a little bit of this, peace in these processes and changing how they think about things, where can they go to get information?
You know, the easiest way, this is going to sound ridiculous, but the easiest way is just to contact me directly. My email is, I have a professional one, but I just use a simple Gmail, and this is going to be confusing, but my name is spelled ridiculously differently. So my email is Steff, Steff Mohan, Mohan, @gmail.com. So just shoot me an email. Love to talk to you about it. It really is transformational in a way that I didn't even know was available. Like, I had no idea that that was even a thing. And it doesn't have to be a spiritual transformation for everybody. It's not going to be it won't be a Jesus fest, but all roads point back to the spirit that lives inside us anyway. And,
I go on my own Jesus tangents, which is fine. But yes, I know that this is not a religious retreat of any kind. This is a professional event where you can get the coaching and the skills in your day-to-day life that you can use to have control over the things you can control: yourself, your emotions, your actions, and your outcomes. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Mohan, for being with me today. It's been a pleasure.
Oh my gosh, what a great conversation.
Thank you. And for those of you who are connected or not connected to me, join our Facebook group, Dentistry's Growing with Grace. Follow our podcast, also Dentistry's Growing with Grace. And if you need help getting your practice to the next level, making some changes, and specifically attracting more of the right new patients for your practice, please consider working with us at Identity Dental Marketing, identitydental.com. And thanks so much. Have a great day.